Good evening and welcome to the Be the Boss Franchise Self-Assessment Deep Dive. My name is Ken Samuelson and I'm a FranNet of Central New York, and I will be presenting the self-assessment to you this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about the great things that FranNet's doing in order to help you get the best business and be placed in the best business opportunity that suits you well. So what we're going to do is we will begin this webinar. I will start by just saying that if anybody has any questions, if you have any technical details, just use the chat window to type in a question or a problem, and we'll attempt to assist you. We won't be able to answer the question verbally, but we'll see if we can address the problem through the chat window. Secondly, we will be muting the conference, as you may have heard. And so if you have a question, you can type that question into the chat box. And at the end of the webinar, we will attempt to answer any questions that haven't been answered as the webinar went along. So I hope you enjoy the presentation, and I hope you get a lot out of it. FranNet's done quite a bit of research and development on this self-assessment, and we really appreciate you spending your time with us this evening. On to the webinar. This webinar is sponsored by SCORE, and so I wanted to take a minute and talk to you about SCORE, the resources that they have, and how they can help you with your business. SCORE helps with business marketing and research. They have business people who have been there. They understand the market. They understand business. They can help you with a business plan or provide you some advice. All their advice is confidential, so you can feel free to talk to them about a business problem and know that that problem won't be taken outside the conference with SCORE. They can provide you references for business advisors, so if you're looking for an accountant or an attorney or legal help, any sort of advice that you might need for your business, marketing help, they can provide you advisors that can help you with that. They also have a whole host of educational resources that they provide both on their website and in their offices, and they have regular seminars, usually one or two a month, as well as a number of webinars. And what I say at the bottom is, best of all, most of the SCORE services are free. The only reason I say most of them is that their seminars sometimes have a nominal charge, but it's usually very affordable and the information is very useful. So wanted to make that plug for SCORE. If you're in business, you need to be at least aware of the SCORE resources. And then as you work in your business, you'll definitely want to take advantage of the resources, the insight, and the advice that they provide. So shout out to SCORE. They do a great job. And FranNet and SCORE have been business partners for over 20 years. So it's a great partnership. And we refer people to SCORE all the time, and they do the same to FranNet. So our objective today is to talk about the FranNet assessment. This is a study. It's a survey of people's personality and types, their personal style. And so what we want to do is help educate you on the process that FranNet uses and the various parts of the assessment. What we'll do is we'll go through the various pieces of the assessment, and then we'll talk about how a business model is generated. And then using that business model and the assessment, we'll tie those together to see how they can help find you a great business opportunity and how those two pieces work together. So I hope you enjoy this. Again, if you have questions, feel free to type them in the chat window, and if they're not addressed in the presentation, we'll be glad to address those questions at the end. So when you think about an assessment, one of the things you think about is how do you view yourself? And we have a number of ways that we view ourselves. One is what you could say the looking glass self. So you're looking at yourself. Hopefully you're trying to look from the outside, and it's how you think others might see you. But again, you're yourself, and so you're trying to look from the outside. Very difficult to do. And so that's one way this assessment can be very valuable to you, is that the assessment is an outside tool that helps you see the way that you really are. The real self is the way that you really are, and that's what we're really shooting for, is to understand who you are and what motivates you, what guides you, and consequently how that will help you to be in the right business and help us to help figure out what the right business is for you. There's your self-image. So this is you looking out and how you see yourself. Sometimes we see ourselves correctly and sometimes we don't. And so having a good self-image and understanding who we are and what challenges us and what motivates us is great. But again, it's very hard to do from inside ourselves. So lastly, there's the ideal self. Everybody has things that they would like to change, and there's things that they would like to be or do. And so that's the way we look at ourselves as to how we would like to be. And so part of what FranNet's trying to do is to get you to that place that you want to be. And the way that we do that is to get a proper self-image of you through this assessment. We use the tools of you looking at yourself and us looking in from outside. And in that way, we find a match for you that suits you in business. The assessment, if you've ever gone to the FranNet website, here's an example of what the assessment, the front page would look like. We're doing a sample assessment for our associate, Frank Dunn, in Albany. This isn't his actual assessment, but it's a model. He answered the questions in an appropriate manner, and so we're going to go through that as if this is an actual assessment for him, but understand that the information would be personal and we wouldn't share any of that information with anybody outside of a counseling or consulting session, and so understand that this is for demonstration purposes only. If you want to get an assessment, you can get an assessment from FranNet.com, ksamuelson.com/CQ, or if you have a FranNet associate, you'll substitute their name in there, and I'll show you at the end how you can do that. So we'll move on to the assessment. The assessment itself, once you fill out the assessment, it'll take about 20 minutes, and you'll definitely want to take a little bit of time with the questions. Make sure that you try to answer them as you really are, not how you'd like to be or how you think you should be, or even how you think the answer should come out. The best way to answer the questions is just how you think that your true self is represented. That'll give you the best assessment. And then what we'll do as FranNet consultants is sit and work with you to see, did the questions get answered correctly? Maybe you didn't understand the question. So we won't just take what's in the assessment, but we'll work with you one-on-one and take the time to really understand who you are and whether the assessment came out correctly before we go and provide any insight or advice or business referrals. So I'd like to make a short statement about financials. There is a whole financial page in the self-assessment, and it goes through salary and car payments and mortgage and those kind of things. There are really two very important pieces to the financials, and that is your net worth, you know, how much you have in assets, and your liquid capital, what you can invest in a business. Now, you can answer all the questions in the assessment, and we suggest that you do. But if you just if you're not willing to answer those questions, the most important questions are about the net worth and the capital investment. That helps us to understand what businesses are right, and we don't want to offer you businesses that are out of the reach of your financials. So we'll work forward now on the franchise assessment. We won't talk any more about financials. As I said, net worth and liquid capital are really the important ones for that. Understand that. So the assessment, what we're trying to do is figure out who you are so that we can match you with the business that best suits you. And as we go through this, you'll see the various ways that who you are and the model and what motivates you will help us determine what business is right for you. It's no different than going to a job or buying a house or buying a car. There are certain things that some people like that other people don't like. Not that any one car or business or vocation or house is better than another, but there are just some that are better suited for some people versus other people. So what we're trying to do is really match these four goals: that which you love, that which you're good at, that which you can be paid for, and that which the world needs. So as you see there, as these circles intersect, you can find your passion, your profession, your vocation, or your mission, and really the magic spot is right in the middle, which helps you determine your purpose. And if we can match the information that we have from your assessment and as we get to know you with a business that puts you right in the middle there, you'll be very excited about the business, and you'll be in the place that will support and suit you and suit your lifestyle for years to come. So first part of the personal franchise assessment is really just basic information. So you can see here, we've done some basic information. Frank has been kind enough to provide us some information about his age and his citizenship. An interesting thing here is he's not a veteran, but if you were a veteran, franchises typically give between 15 and 20% off the franchise fee. So knowing that you're a veteran will help us find better businesses for you as well. Veterans do particularly well in franchises because they're able to follow a system. And if you were in either of the presentations before about the FranNet process and how we go through matching you to a business, you'll understand that franchises are really about having a good system. And veterans are good at following systems, so they make great franchisees. If you're not a veteran, that's fine too. We have great businesses and opportunities for you as well, but you won't be able to get the discount that veterans have. A little bit about your education and family life. That helps give us an understanding of what some of the responsibilities you've had with your jobs and for family life, how that may affect your ability or willingness to get into a business. And then again, what business would be great for you? Maybe you're looking for a business that if you have children now, you would like your children to come and work at the business later. And so we really want to understand what it is that's driving you and then what you want to do with the business as the business progresses through the years. So personal information, it's pretty basic, but useful and helps us to get to know you even better. We'll go over, this is just an assessment at a glance. So there's a page that kind of lays out the whole assessment. And I won't go through this page because we're going to go through each one of these lines step by step. They're kind of hard to read, and so we'll do them a piece at a time. But you can see there's a whole variety of options that come up as you answer the questions in the franchise assessment. And so, therefore, we will be able to match you to a great business using these various categories. So as part of this deep dive, we're going to dive into each one of these categories, and that's what this webinar is all about. So values and motives. One of the most important things in finding a great business or a great franchise is finding out what drives you, what motivates you, and what you value. In doing that, we're able to help you to be a great candidate for the franchisee or for the franchisor, a great franchise candidate. And because your values and motives match up with the type of business that's there, you'll be able to ramp up very quickly. You'll probably have better performance with the franchise and more profitable because your motives, your values, and who you are matches up with the way the business is operated. And so having that match, like any good match, will make you more successful. So looking at this assessment here, again, this is Frank's assessment that he has done for us graciously. He's what we call a societal emulator. And so if you look at the kind of the bar chart in the lower right corner, you can see the S is the highest there, and then the E is the second highest, and then the B and the A are lower. And we'll go through what each one of those is. But you can see here the societal person values relationships and respect. So they're looking to do something and do something special with in the world. They want to make a difference in the world that they're associated with. So they value relationships and they build relationships well. So those kind of businesses that would be good in that category would be for maybe a senior care business or something that allows somebody to be helpful and useful in the business economy. An emulator is looking for prestige and recognition. So they want a good business, something that's a little bit flashy. They might not be interested in a cleaning business because it's not flashy enough or not interesting enough for them. Not that one business is better than another, but because of somebody's values and motives, they'll be more motivated and they'll be more ready to take on the challenges of certain business because of the way that their values and motives line up. So these are some charts, and the chart that you see there, the bubble chart, it looks like a little web, shows some bigger bubbles and smaller bubbles. The bigger bubbles tend to be the ones that in Frank's particular case stood out, and then the other ones are ones that are maybe not so prevalent, but they are evidence of a societal or emulator type person. As we move forward, I'll answer the question of what are the other values and motivators. So I want to take a few minutes and just talk about each one of these categories so that you understand what they are a little bit better. So in the upper left-hand corner, we have a belonger. Belongers are typically conservative, conventional, they have very established routines or traditions, very home-oriented and family-oriented. They like to belong to a group, and so that's kind of what motivates them. So they'll want a business that helps them to feel like it's a family business kind of thing, and they'll do very well as the business goes along like that. They might not like a business that's just more of a sales business where they're out kind of on their own. The second on the moving to the right is an emulator. An emulator tends to be enthusiastic and maybe a little impulsive. They like excitement and they're a little bit of a risk taker. They seek adventure. So they want to go out and they want to do something that's exciting. So a newer business, a newer concept, something that's a little bit flashy would be a good business for them as well. They're looking for success and recognition, and they really want to take on a challenge. So those kind of people do very well in businesses that are in a little bit more competitive environment. They may typically be even good at sales, and so they're out there making sales and making contacts with people. The achiever in the lower right-hand corner, they're business-oriented. They like to feel like they're in control. These are your type A people. They like structure. They're very committed to their work, and their work provides them a real sense of adventure and makes them feel like they've achieved something. So those are great businesses that may be a little bit more challenging, but they can really sink their teeth into it and they'll enjoy those businesses. Again, the societals talked a little bit about that. They're active and they have to take charge, but they really want to make a difference in the world. They want to provide a service or contribution. So some of the more serving type businesses are good for them. So hopefully that answers the top level of the values and motivators. These become one of the most important things that we talk about in the meeting with our clients, because that's really what drives you. It's different from a DISC, a personality study, because your personality may not come out when you're in business. We're looking at what motivates you. So in business, if money or achievement motivates you, then we want to have a business that suits you very well. So in Frank's case, we're going to look at his work style, and he's listed his work style as a collaborator. So a collaborator wants to connect people, can be a team player. So you can see the bubbles that show up there. There's a couple other styles that are prevalent, directors, promoters, and thinkers, and we'll take a minute and talk about each one of those. So there's a slide here. Again, Frank was our collaborator, maybe a little slower or relaxed, relationship oriented, likes to listen to people and be part of a team. And so those are great traits of a business that has a number of employees, so you can feel like a team and work together. The director is more, again, the type A person, fast and decisive, very goal-oriented. They're looking for a business that they can really sink their teeth in and go and take on the world. A little competition doesn't scare them. They're going to go and make things happen. The promoter, somewhat like the director, they're fast and spontaneous, but they're still people-oriented. So they're the ones who are out there marketing, networking. They'll be at the networking groups, communicating, interacting with people, but they're still very goal-oriented. So they're selling their business. They're selling themselves as they do that. And lastly, are the thinkers. A little bit slower, more systematic. These might even typically be an engineer. They're task-oriented. They're looking for accuracy or precision, maybe detail-oriented. There's some great businesses that allow them to be in that category. If there's a technical product that comes along with the business, they'll love that business because they can dig into it. They can dig into the challenges and the things that come up in the business that require their technical expertise. So they'll really enjoy that type of business. Whereas the director and promoter might not like that. Those technical details might frustrate them. So again, it's all about finding the right business for the right person. None of these work styles is better or worse than another. None of the values and motivators are better or worse than another, but they're each different, and the differences help to determine what businesses are best for the person involved. Focus preference. This is maybe a little bit more like a DISC type study, where you're looking at people-oriented or external, or task-oriented or internal, as well as broad thinking or narrow thinking. And so the four quadrants in there give you strategic, which is what Frank came up with from his answers. The other categories, so the broad strategic would be a big thinker, but having task orientation. So they're thinking about the strategic task that needs to happen. But again, a big picture, goal-oriented the person. Systematic, again, maybe more like your engineers. Narrow-focused, task-oriented, maybe not so people-oriented. Focused, you're narrow, but you're really focused on people. So you're working more one-on-one with people. A senior care business might be a good business for that type of person because they're focused in on one particular person. Whereas an aware person, broad with people or external orientation, they're going to want to deal with many people at a time. So maybe a more retail business where somebody's a number of customers are shopping all at once. So there's many more people, and it's a broad range. We also look at the leadership style. Some of this comes from people's experience in their previous jobs, or just how they're wired. Autocratic, obviously, is more that leader, take charge, I'm going to make all the decisions. And so a single owner-operator type business might be good for that type of person. Paternalistic would be somebody who's really interested in helping or helping people grow. Maybe more of a retail type business where you're having possibly teenagers or people that you can mentor and help them grow into the business, help them learn the business, and that becomes more of a paternal type relationship. Democratic businesses, one where a business that allows you to take input from all the people involved in the business. Somebody who is democratic will want to get input from all the people involved, and they're going to maybe take a vote on what's the best decision or what's the best course of action. Laissez-faire is more the free enterprise is the phrase for that. People get to do a little bit more of what they want to do. They're a little freer to make decisions and do things on their own. Business such as maybe teaching would be more laissez-faire. So the teacher has experience and they need to deal with a particular student in a certain way, or if it's a business that trains in music or education, they may be a little more free to do what they need to do to help that student in particular, a little bit less organized, or a little bit less control from the business. We also look at a person's compliance ratio. If you remember the previous webinar, we talked about franchises being a system and being able to follow that system. So one of the important things is to have a compliance ratio that matches up with the business. It's not that you should be more or less compliant. You can see Frank's score here is average compliance, which is good. Somebody who's very highly compliant would work well with a business that's very well established, typically a franchise that's maybe 10 or 20 years old. Their systems are very well established. They have things a certain way, and they like things done a certain way, and they're going to get done that way if your compliance ratio is high. People that have a lower compliance ratio, we don't forget about them. Just because they have a lower compliance ratio, there are some franchises, typically the franchises that have been in business for maybe 3 to 5 years, their systems are in place, they have training, but they're willing to bend a little bit on their systems. And so having a compliance ratio that's low, you typically want a franchise that provides you the opportunity to get in, make some changes, do some things on your own, maybe be a little non-compliant with the system that's there. Some of the younger businesses that haven't been in business so long allow you to do that without causing trouble with the franchise system. We also look at people's core competencies. In the five areas listed here, the technical administration, client services, networking, and sales. And these come out of typically people's experience. So how do they deal in their jobs? And engineers might be more technical. You know, they like a product that has some details to it and technical problems. If they're used to solving technical problems, those things come naturally to them. Managers, middle managers, or upper managers may be higher in the administration. And so they want a business that allows them to be very tightly associated with the management or upper management. Client services, these are the kind of businesses that allow you to work directly with clients. Typically a mobile business might work well, where you're working directly with the client, solving their problems, maybe in this case, kind of technical and client services. A mobile business could be great for them. They're working with their clients, they're solving some technical problems, and that really matches who they do. Networking just shows us how good you are at networking, and are you able to get out and meet people, connect with them, and be able to build relationships. Again, Frank is the societal emulator, and so networking and marketing he's able to do fairly well. And a little bit lower in sales. Not every position or every business requires strong sales, and some more of that may be just networking and connecting with people along the way. We'll get into really the last area of focus for the assessment, and these are our meta programs. So it's a little bit more esoteric details of somebody's personality, but they do help to allow the franchise consultant to help you figure out what the best business might be for you. So the first is to look at the direction, toward or away. Typically, people are doing two things. They're either moving towards something or moving away from something. There's also people that are balanced. They're really not moving towards something or away from something, but they're less prevalent in today's society. Typically, people have a goal and they're trying to go toward it. They're trying to make a name for themselves or do something, but they're trying to get away from maybe a bad situation, or they know what they don't want. And both of those things are good. If you have a goal that you're working toward, FranNet and FranNet Consultant can help you find a business that will move you toward that goal. If there's things that you don't want in the business, you don't want an authoritarian boss. We talked about the management style. You want to move away from that. We can help find you a business opportunity that will not have that characteristic present. Frame of reference, external or internal, this helps us figure out how you view yourself and how you view the world around you. External people typically take the advice and the input and the insight from people around them, and they kind of take that personally. They look at the world from how other people view them from outside of them. Internal people are the opposite, obviously. They look at things from their own internal values and how they view themselves and their persona to be viewed by other people outside. Internal people are less affected by criticism and things from the outside. External people can be very affected by criticism and opinions of people. So understanding people's frame of reference will help to find businesses that really suit their personal style. Past attitudes, either optional or procedural, this kind of goes through how you look and take on a task. If somebody gives you a particular task, are you going to follow a procedure? Are you going to look for a way, a method to walk from one end of the task to the other until its completion? Or are you more of an optional person who would kind of maybe start one way and then maybe go another way, continue down the road, and then maybe make another change? All of these are fine. Procedural people typically go through the franchise investigation process very quickly because they have a system and a process, and so they'll walk through that franchise assessment process as if it's a task to be achieved and get through on the other side. Optional people, they'll focus more on different opportunities. They might want to look at two or three or four opportunities and see which one best suits them. So understanding that, the franchise consultant will be able to provide the person with the best opportunities and the way that they want to look at the information that's provided to them. Trunk size goes right along with that, global or specific. So global says, show me the great things that this business does for the world, or how does it solve problems. Specific, they want to get into the nitty-gritty. What do I do on a daily basis? How do I run the business? How do I do my daily tasks? And so understanding the chunk size helps both the person and the franchise consultant to provide information to the client in the best way possible so that they can handle the information in an orderly fashion. Typically, people that are global, they get bogged down if there's too many details. And people that are specific can kind of get lost if there's too global of information that's out there. And lastly, the communication style is just how people look at the world. You may find yourself, you like to see things, you're very visual, you want to see how one thing connects to another thing. Your communication style will be visual. And having pictures and diagrams and charts may be great for you. Other people, they just want to hear it. Tell me about the business. I want to talk to people. I want to hear their stories about the business. And they're much more auditory. And lastly, kinesthetic is somebody who wants to touch it. They might want to go and see a business. You'll definitely, as you're going through the research process, want to go visit businesses. A kinesthetic person might actually want to stay and help them out with the business for a day or two and really run the business hands-on. They're the hands-on kind of people. So what does this give you at the end? The last page of the franchise assessment is a page that talks about your business needs and what businesses best suit you. So given all that we've talked about for Frank, his business needs here, desire to impact policies and procedures. He wants to be able to master the business, wants to replicate it, and he wants it to be simple. He wants a product or service that solves a problem or has a cause. He wants to do good in the world. But he's more of the hands-off management. We saw his administration was a little bit low in the one category. And so we're looking for businesses that are team-oriented. The team is going to help make the decision, and there won't be so much administration. There'll be a little bit of freedom in the business. There might be hands-on, but hopefully it's not necessary. And so those are characteristics that we're looking for. They want to be inspirational or educational. And maybe an education or training business would be good for them. And advising and consulting, again, working with that team to go along with what they're looking for. So we'll talk a little bit about the different types of businesses that somebody could go into, because as we talked about the different characteristics, those characteristics then match up to different spectrums of businesses. So starting on the left-hand side, we talked about inbound retail. Those are the highest cost businesses because you have a retail store, you're typically paying rent, you may be paying for inventory in your store. They're going to be your highest cost, but they're going to be high visibility because they're typically going to be on a major street or thoroughfare. And so people are going to see your business. In this case, maybe very little selling because people are going to see the business, advertise, they see your retail store, and they'll just come in to the store. So businesses that are of this type, typically the fast food industry, retail stores, hair salons, dry cleaners, businesses that people relate to right away, and they know what they're looking at. You don't have to explain the business to them. Outbound retail, it's still retail, but a little bit less cost because it might not be on the main street. Maybe it'll be in an office park or a little, maybe around the corner. Having a certain site may not be as important. You could have a learning center or a sign business. As long as people know where you are, they can come find you, that's good enough. There's a fitness business, you could see how that would work for them. Not a large inventory, not as much cost, but you still have a retail store. A little bit less selling in that opportunity. On the far right, we'll jump to the middle ones in a minute, outbound sales and service, they are really the lowest cost because these are your home businesses. These are the ones that you can work on your schedule, low visibility. You don't have a retail store, so you're not paying for that. But because people can't see you, you end up having to do a lot more of the selling. You're the hands-on person. Again, the home business, you can do something in commercial or maintenance, cleaning businesses, management or consulting businesses are also along those lines. And they can have very high margins on them, and they can be the right business for the right person. But again, just because one business is low cost or high cost doesn't make it any better than the other. First, if it doesn't match your style, it's not going to be, you're not going to be successful at it because you need it to match your style. Secondly, just because it's lower cost doesn't always mean higher profitability. An inbound retail can be highly profitable as well. So it's all about the business system and the particular franchise that comes that is providing the service. Area developer is somebody who wants to own a number of franchises. They're going to build maybe an empire, a number of franchises, multi units. They probably want to be the owner operator of a whole network of franchise businesses in a certain area. And lastly, there's the bridge. It kind of mixes some of the low selling and low cost residential cleaning service. They might have a retail store or might not. Handyman service might be more of a home business as well as it can be a out of an office, office park or something like that. So that's where the businesses come in, and matching those with an assessment, you'll see how we put this all together. The other thing that we do is we look at the business characteristics. And so we'll work, each of these is a business preference, as you can see from the middle. Not, again, one business better than the other. It's just certain preferences. Some people want to have lots of employees. They understand that they can handle the employees. They don't mind the hiring and firing if necessary. So they'll enjoy a business with employees. What budget the business requires, again, getting back to the net worth and the amount of liquid capital, helps to determine what business is appropriate for you. Figuring out the business environment, we want a 9-to-5, we want a weekends, do we want a 24/7 business? Understanding what a person's preference is, as well as what business model we're looking for. We talked about multiple units from the area developer. If somebody's looking for that, they may want to start with one and move to a number of units, or come in at the beginning with a number of units. Types of customers, so you've got business to business. So some businesses just work with other businesses, and they don't deal with the general public. Other businesses are business to consumer, B2C businesses, and they'll have a different model. And each one takes a different type of person or personality to handle those businesses. So we want to understand what the goals of the person are, as well as we've gone through the assessment, to figure out what fits them the best. Service or product, so if the business provides a product, is the person able to handle that product and do inventory and those kind of things? Or is it just a service business where you're going to go out and do a job for somebody and then be paid for that service? We talked about the compliance, so a new type business or an established business. Some people like the flashy new businesses, something that hasn't been around before. Or some just want the old established standard industries that are just great businesses with good profit margins. And some people want room to grow. They want to start with maybe one franchise and move to a larger one. Others just maybe want a franchise business, and that's really all they're looking for. They're going to retire with that or sell it off at the end and just run their business. What we do with the assessment and looking over the goals in the business is we match those up. And so that's where we connect the two together, the business model and the assessment. And as we do that, we find the match, the right match, the best opportunity for the person involved. And so coming through that, working one-on-one with people really helps us to understand who they are, figure out what they're looking for, and really provide them the best insight and advice as they go through the process. And then understanding some details from the assessment helps the franchise consultant to be able to provide them insight and advice as to what they should be looking at. Do they think the business is too risky, or is it the risk profile that the person's finds an acceptable risk? And making sure that they're going to get the right business in the right area. As franchise consultants with BrandNet, we work locally with people, and so therefore we're working in the business community, we're out in the neighborhood that they're in, and so we understand what businesses are really good for the area. So before I conclude, I want to talk a little bit about some upcoming events. There's a Meet the Franchiser event in Rochester, October 5th, where you can come and meet five or six franchises, and they will talk about their concepts, and you can see whether they fit with you. We would still suggest that you go through the assessment process so that your consultant and you personally will understand how you fit well with the business. Another Meet the Franchiser event in Syracuse on October 6th, and the Small Business Showcase, which is the Small Business Association in Albany. BrandNet will be there presenting and talking about franchise opportunities in Albany on the 7th. So make yourself available to those if possible. If not, definitely sign up for a newsletter to stay informed of business webinars and events, and make sure that you get all the information you need about franchise businesses and business opportunities. Lastly, here's my contact information and contact information for Ron Novecchi, who's in the Western Buffalo area of New York, John Adams, who's in the Finger Lakes area, and Rochester, myself, in the Central New York area, covering Watertown, Syracuse, and Binghamton, and then Frank Dunn in the Albany area. So you can see here the personal franchise assessment, www.fannet.com, Case Anderson CQ. If you're in Ron's or John's or Frank's area, you can just substitute in their name in there instead of the Case Anderson. Another tool that we have is the Business Evaluation Suitability Test. It's a great way to just answer a few questions and see how suitable. Are you ready to go into business? And is this a good time for you to go into business? Are there things that you need to take care of before you decide to go into business? So at this time, that's the end of the presentation, and I'd like to unmute the lines, and I'll open it up for questions if anybody has any questions, and we'll go from there. If nobody has any questions, we'll finish out the webinar, and I appreciate and thank you all for attending this webinar, and just hope that the information has been helpful and useful to you, and hope that you look for a business and use a franchise consultant from FranNet to help you find the business that suits you very well. I will unmute the lines now.
The conference has been unmuted.
I don't see any questions in the chat window, so if anybody has any questions, they can ask those questions now, and if not, we will close out the presentation. And if somebody needs the presentation, Email to them. As I said, we were recording this presentation, so I can send out this presentation to anybody who would like to review it again. So, any questions? Okay. By the silence, I'm going to assume that everybody has all the information that they need at this point. The contact information is shown here on this page. If you do have any questions or you want to get on somebody's newsletter, feel free to avail yourself of the email addresses or contact the person in your area. And if you forget who's in your area or forget who your representative franchise consultant is, feel free to go to FranNet.com, type in your zip code, and that will find your franchise consultant for you. So thank you again for attending this webinar. Appreciate you taking your time and enjoyed presenting this material to you. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our events or having you do a personal franchise assessment and then working through to see what great business opportunities are waiting for you. Enjoy your evening. Thank you again. Have a good night.